today?
Great.
It's a beautiful day out there.
Beautiful.
All right, man.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so let me just update you real quick on injuries coming out of this football game. Brian Braman suffered a left shoulder AC sprain, and as of right now, he's just going to miss Wednesday's practice, but expect him for the game. Leotis McKelvin, same thing, that hamstring got a little tight on him and sore on him, so we'll keep him out of Wednesday's practice and rest, and then he'll be available for the game as well. The other ones that got injured that are okay, Fletcher Cox had the left ankle. He's fine. Dorial Green-Beckham, left knee, patellar. He had just some tendonitis there in the game, late in the game, actually. He'll be fine. Lane Johnson, right elbow, hyperextension of this group. And then Benny Logan, left calf spasm. He'll be fine, the one he had from practice the other day. Lane's is probably the more significant, but he'll be fine. He'll be a little bit limited Wednesday, but it'll be good for the game. And then Ertz, Maragos, Matthews, and Isaac are all fine.
Hey, Doug, so it sounded like you said for the interception points at the end that it was his third progression, but he indicated that it was an alert that he saw coming out of the huddle. So I was wondering if you could just kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shallow basic post combination, and it's really an alerted post. Really, the primary is the shallow to the basic on the play to the back. I mean, and again, that's kind of the design of the play. They ran a thief coverage, which means they robbed the free safety, played cover one, and he ended up having to he moved a little bit in the pocket, saw the guy cut, and it really took Ertz away. And at that point, by the time he hitched back up into the pocket, his eyes went to Nelson on the post and decided to throw it at that time when, in fact, Jordan on the shallow could have been the throw at that time. But, hey, give our guys an opportunity to make plays down the field and hope for either a catch or an intercept, a P.I.
What's the responsibility of the wide receiver?
Well, there's multiple things. One, from a quarterback standpoint, late down the middle obviously is not a good thing. That goes all the way back to my days in Green Bay with Brett Favre. I mean, talking about that kind of stuff, and those are things you learn. The second thing is when the ball goes up, it's our ball or nobody's ball. I mean, that's the mentality, that's the mindset, that's what we coach, that's what we teach. And then being able to track the football. And, Nelson had an opportunity to make a play there from where the ball, was thrown, slightly outside. I mean, it was a deep throw. But typically it's either our ball or nobody's ball. Well, I think early in OTAs, just getting an idea of the offense, sometimes you can make those types of throws early, trying to understand the complexity of the offense. But he, listen, it's a teachable moment for him. Next time in that situation, he'll definitely understand what's going on, I think, and not make those decisions. He's the one thing about Carson is he it's a short term mentality. It happens once, he forgets it, he moves on, and that's what we got to do in this situation, and get ready for this week.
So you're saying ideally,
I mean, if it's the next time, or had he seen the rotation of the safeties and whatnot, I would suggest that he teach off the film and find Jordan.
Is that a case where he's maybe a little too aggressive? Is that
not at all? No, and I won't rein him in.
But in that situation, you only need a field goal. Caleb in the dome, he's kicking well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to, before he goes out for the series, kind of go over the situational awareness of
And we do. We listen, I was down there calling timeouts when the defense was on the ball, and I was on the radio with Frank. We were getting ready for our two-minute drive, and we knew that we were going to have time. Chances are we were going to be out of timeouts, obviously, and so we were covering all the situations. And again, hey, listen, this is his fourth start. We're beating him up over his fourth NFL start, and he did some great things now in this football game. Not one play is going to magnify him or our performance in this football game. Again, it goes back to that, you know, throwing it late down the middle of the field rule for the quarterback. You usually like to carry it on your outside arm. There was a, you know, Jordan Matthews had a block, kind of got blown up there. Lane was pulling around the edge, and it just Detroit, I mean, they made a tremendous play and just kind of caught us kind of bang in that situation. But ideally, I think as a runner, yeah, you would want to carry it in your outside arm.
A lot of people have asked me on Twitter and emails, what's the rule with the ball? You know, we all saw how the ball was recovered. The guy snapped it back between his legs to a guy in bounds. But it was touching Jason Kelce, who was lying partly out of bounds first. Is it not dead?
It is. It's dead ball out of bounds. That's the rule, and I that was one of the things I wanted to make sure this morning that I was correct and accurate in that ruling, you know, it's just one of those things. But we can't cough the ball up.
Did you check that with the league then?
John Ferrari, who is very versed on the rules and. And he and I talked about it. We actually discussed it during the game because these situations come up throughout the league, and we see video of this kind of stuff all the time. And it's something that it's obviously it's a turnover, so it's a booth situation, booth review, and it's out of our hands.
What's the explanation that he got after the booth review?
That he didn't touch it. It was not touched, but wasn't touched by us.
Are you guys going to send something?
Well, we'll send you know a few clips in, you know, out of this game, but again, that's not why we lost this football game.
What did you make of the disparity though in penalties?
We almost overcame it and won it, and that's a tribute to the football team and the way the guys battled, you know, to have as many plays on defense to start this game, three drives. It was like 32 plays, I mean, if you count penalties and everything, I mean it's a bunch of football, and you know, that was their game. Our game was we battled, we hung in there, and defense played outstanding in the second half. We made plays on offense and had a chance to win it, you know, with 2 minutes to go in the game.
A couple of 14 penalties. Did the play get in a little late on either of those?
Which one?
You had a couple of delayed game penalties.
Correct. Well, the one in the red zone, yeah, the one down in the red zone, you know, all week long, this is a team, they like to zero blitz you down there. So we had some kills and some audibles this week that we wanted to put in to maximize the blitz and protect the throw or protect the run. And he was trying to get us into that protection and get guys lined up that we had practiced. It was just, you know, time, noise, all of that factored into those delay games.
So if you look at
I'm not going to get into the officiating. We have to correct them. We have to play smarter, obviously. The face mask on Fletcher is always going to be an unsportsmanlike. It's going to be a personal foul. You know, those types of things. We got to play smart. You know, as I mentioned, I think that how we came back in this game, you know, I think it just shows the character of this football team and where we are from even a year ago. You know, I think this game a year ago got out of hand and it got shut down and it got blown out. This group didn't do that yesterday. This group was resilient. This group battled. Sideline was calm. They were, you know, whatever adversity came our way, we were able to overcome it. And, you know, it's like that 2-minute drive before the end of the half. I mean, we were in first and 25, second and 23, and we were overcame that and got the three. So it's a sign of a good football team.
Where do you think that calmness came from?
Well, I think it comes from the coaches. Number one, there's no panic on the sideline there. I mean, the communication. The thing is with the better communication you have with your players on the sideline, it just kind of just eases it. If we're not prepared as a staff, players are going to know it. Players are going to see it, and then there's chaos. And our staff and my staff is prepared on game day, and we're able to make the necessary adjustments. And I think it starts with the staff, and then it works itself down to the players.
Doug, are you getting what you want from Nelson at this point?
Yeah, he made a nice couple contested catches. He's putting himself in a position to make plays. With play calling and different as the game kind of unfolds, I don't necessarily feature one guy over another. I just think you just play the game as it is, and you ask your quarterback to progression read and all that. But Nelson has put himself in a position to help us. And again, yesterday he had a couple of nice catches. DGB stood up, stood out yesterday. A couple of nice quick throws and runs, and you can see the strength that he has. So, as a group, it was a good performance by them.
Doug, Vinny Curry just played 13 of 16 snaps
while Barlin granted 352. What's going on there? Well, it comes down to the way we rotate, and sometimes it's personnel on offense, and whether a team is going to hurry up or not, or huddling quite a bit, and Vinny's a big part of that group, it's just a matter of the rotating basis and keeping guys as fresh as we can throughout the game. But there's nothing other than that to read into. Well, I mean, you're asking a question that we rotate so much at the defensive line position that Fletcher obviously gets his snaps. I mean, Brandon Graham gets his snaps. Connor, these guys are getting their reps, and when you're in there, you're called upon to make plays, and you have to make the most of those opportunities.
With the running back rotation, do you anticipate it'll be Ryan and Darren moving forward? I mean, is there going to be a role for Wendell and Kenyon moving forward, or are you just going to stick with those two guys?
Ryan and Darren are the as I've said before, the two primary guys. Wendell had a role against the Steelers, obviously, when Ryan was out, and we're able to pick up sort of the slack there, and Kenyon's the same way. We get opportunities to put him in the game, we will. But as going forward, it's Ryan and Darren, and we'll spell those other two guys when we need to.
And following up on the question yesterday about taking Nigel on board, what made this the game you decided to do that in the situation?
Well, if you saw the third series of the game, it was a 14-play drive, 12 total plays. There were three third downs. One was a false start, and the other two were dime personnel. Or one was nickel, one was dime. We had an opportunity on 3rd and 11 to make the play. Michael was in position, just didn't make the play. I mean, Riddick's a great back, and he made a miss. The other one was in the red zone, and it was dime, and Tulloch was on the field. The defense had previously been on the field 22 plays. Basically, offense kind of, we were I think, 8 plays and out that first drive, and just needed to give guys a break, just to give them a blow. It was a long first half for our defense staying on the field.
Doug, Lane Johnson seems to think he'll hear something Wednesday or Thursday on a suspension. Will you go ahead and give someone else, Allen or Alex Lobotti, reps at right tackle? How's that going to work?
Again, until – until we get the final word. Lane's my right tackle, and I'm going to keep going that route. If Lane is limited due to his injury on Wednesday, then as I mentioned before, we'll probably have Big V, you know, step up and get some reps this week, particularly maybe on Wednesday. That's a great question, because I saw how ticked off this team was at the end of this football game, despite everything that went on in this game, negative, positive, the whole thing. This is a different football team than a year ago. This is a resilient football team. This is a team that, when I walked on the plane last night when we were halfway home, and everybody's on their iPads watching the game. They're correcting the mistakes. They're wanting to get back out on the football field, and that's from a coach's perspective. That's great to see. It's great to see your players take ownership that way. the leaders of your team really step up and I mean, yeah, as bad as it hurts, at the same time they understand that, hey, we let one slide, and my message to them was that every week is going to be a challenge, and every week has its own circumstances, but it was great to see the veteran guys, and really all the guys back there from Carson to Malcolm to Fletcher to Connor, Brent Selleck. I mean, everybody's back there looking at the game, and so this thing it won't spiral. It won't spiral. They're taking ownership of it. You know, just like players, and maybe more so, we look at it from that perspective. And I got to look at it as a play caller, and did I put our guys in the proper spot? Obviously hindsight's 20/20, and you can sit now with a fresh set of eyes and go, maybe that call there or this call there. But coming away from this game, even under the all the circumstances surrounding this football game, I felt like, and we felt as a staff this morning that we gave ourselves an opportunity. We gave ourselves a chance. I felt like going into this game that our tight ends against their linebackers, for instance, was a matchup in our favor. Could I have called more, middle of the field with our tight ends? Yeah, but we were getting a couple calls against us at that time too. So, you always look at that kind of stuff and come away thinking maybe this, maybe that. But at the end of the day, I feel comfortable about how I called the game and how our staff handled, some of the adversity and what we overcame. There were two, and they were towards the end of the game. One, he hit Jordan Matthews on a dagger route. It was a big, big play for us. And then he hit Jordan again on a 3rd and 6 right before the end of the game. That were two big third down throws that not many rookie quarterbacks are going to make right now, and he's been able to make those. Okay? Thank you, guys.